Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, Ian here. I wanted to tell you about a place that I love, and it's a place where a lot of the work that goes into 13 happens. I do a lot of the work for the show at Lexington Writers Room. If you're a parent, you know it can be tough to carve out some space to work on something creative at home that requires a certain amount of solitude, like writing. Even if your kids are in the other room, you still feel like you should be spending time with them. The Writers Room is a place where I and a lot of other great writers can go to work on whatever it is we're working on. It's a dedicated 24-hour space, and it's one of the main reasons that 13 has survived into my parenthood. The Writer's Room is at a turning point and needs to do some serious fundraising to maintain the next 3 years of our lease. So I'm coming to you to ask you to consider donating, or if you're local, consider joining. You'll be helping the show, as well as a ton of other talented people who are chasing their dreams, but who just need a little space to do the work. You can look for a link to the donate page in the show notes of our most recent episode, or you can go there now at lexingtonwritersroom.com. You can go there now at lexwritersroom.com/support-us. That's Lex, spelled L-E-X, writersroom.com/support-us.
Hey there. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. Before we get started, as always, we want to thank our new patrons, Angela Voshkovich, Reformed Colonel Reb, Maria Alvarado, Hannah Bishop, Stephanie C., Acalia, Lou King, and Kristen Geeter. Thank you so much for your support. And welcome to the Pod Fam. If you'd like to hear your name before an episode, then you should check us out on Patreon. Just click the link in the show notes to learn more about perks like ad-free episodes, exclusive merch, and over 4 years of bonus stories. This is part two of a two-part series. If you haven't listened to part one, you should probably go back and do that now. We'll wait. And without further ado, today's story is Maine, part two, written by Madeline Daniel, featuring Kayla Temshiv and Mason Amadeus. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights, and now, on with the show. Hannah knew that calling Nick was a bad idea, even as she pressed the buttons on her phone. He didn't answer, hanging up on the second ring. She should have taken that as a sign. She should have let it go. Instead, she dialed again. And this time, Nick picked up.
What the fuck do you want?
Hannah had anticipated him being cold, but his immediate hostility took her aback. She paused, not sure how to proceed. She hadn't planned what to say to him. She only knew that Nick was the closest to Caro she could get right now.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry, Nick.
To Hannah's increasing dread, Nick laughed. A dry, choking laugh, devoid of humor.
You're sorry? Yeah, well, I guess you should be. Because this is all your fault.
Hannah's heart dropped into her stomach.
What?
Look, I don't know what you did, if you talked to her or...
Nick, no, I haven't talked to her since June.
It doesn't matter. You know, I thought she was getting better. I thought it would pass, this fucking sick relationship she had with you. But she drove all the way to Maine, Hannah. And that's not a coincidence.
Hannah was shocked into silence. She hadn't realized Nick knew. He read her mind.
Yeah, she told me about all that. Fucking creepy. How you were obsessed with running away with her to Maine. After you squeezed all the benefits out of your marriage, of course.
Hannah's mouth hung open. It was all she could do to keep breathing. Nick, I swear, I never meant to do any of that.
But you did, Hannah. You did. If you couldn't have her, no one could, right? I hope you're happy.
Hannah was gutted, but she recovered when she realized Nick was about to hang up. Nick, wait, she said. Is there? She squeezed her eyes shut, forcing the tears to slide off of her lashes. Is there going to be a memorial service or something? There was a pause, long enough that Hannah thought Nick had hung up. But then he spoke in a tone that was somehow even angrier, laced with even more venom.
You've got a lot of fucking nerve to ask that.
Nick, I just want to be there. I think I deserve to be there.
You don't deserve anything. I don't ever want to see you or hear from you again. Don't you dare call me. Don't you dare call her family. And if you show up at the memorial, I will call the goddamn police.
Hannah sobbed and was about to hang up when she remembered. Nick?
What?
Okay, I won't call you, I won't show up, I'll leave you alone. Can you please just tell me what she texted you?
What the fuck are you talking about?
When Caro died, what did she text you? Was it just a picture of the ocean? Or was there something else? What did she say to you? She could feel the desperation coursing through her blood like adrenaline. She needed to know if there was something else. If there was something Caro had withheld from Hannah and kept exclusive for her fiancé. Or if Hannah was the last person she talked to. If Hannah really was special. But Nick just released another broken laugh.
Unbelievable. Fuck off, Hannah.
Hannah isn't used to having Caro over on a Sunday afternoon. It adds to the strange energy, the nervous tension stretched like a tightrope between them. Caro begins, looking far too serious.
I wanted to tell you what was going on. I thought it'd be easier to talk about it in person.
Instantly, Hannah's mind leaps to the inevitable conclusion. Caro's ending it. Their friendship, their relationship, their undefined but undeniable bond. It's all unraveling before her eyes. Everything she's worked for. It's all she can do not to burst into tears right now. But she knows she needs to pull herself together. To remain aloof. At least for now.
It's Nick.
He doesn't trust me.
No. Han, he doesn't trust me.
Why doesn't he trust you? You're his fiancé. It's me he doesn't like.
Well, it's not that he doesn't like you. It's just, I've tried so many times to explain to him that it's over between us, that nothing has happened since before he and I started dating, that nothing is going to happen. But, he doesn't believe me. I mean, he says it's okay, but every time I mention you, he shuts down. I don't know what else I can do to make him understand.
Hannah nods, steadying herself. I knew this would happen,
she says. Her voice quivers, and she doesn't try to hide it.
This is why I didn't want you to tell him in the first place.
What else was I supposed to do? It would have come out one way or another, and I thought it was better to be honest from the start. Maybe you're right. Maybe I was wrong to tell him about it. But I can't change that now.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm making it worse.
Hannah takes a deep breath. Now is her chance to take control.
It would be easier if we weren't friends.
Caro furrows her brows in alarm.
What? No, that's not what I'm saying.
Hannah feels a glimmer of hope, but she needs to be sure.
Well, it would be, right? I mean, it must be so hard for you, having your fiancé hate your best friend.
He doesn't hate you. And even if he does, he'll get over it. I don't care if he doesn't want to hang out with you. But I'm not giving up either of you. It's ridiculous.
Hannah watches, an invisible smile playing across her lips, as Caro sits up straighter and shakes her head as if to clear it.
I'm gonna figure this out. I am going to make this work if it kills me.
She takes Hannah's hand in hers and gazes at her purposefully.
Look, do you want to be friends forever?
Hannah is stunned. She's elated. She's triumphant. She's won. Yes, of course I do. Caro's smile is incandescent.
Okay, then we will be.
Hannah had wanted to cancel their date with Nora and Jason, but Gabe had refused.
It'll be good for you. You need to get out of your head.
Now, as she crawled across her bed to where Nora waited, Hannah had to admit her husband had a point. The cocktails had drowned out most thoughts of Caro, and the soft, inviting skin of Nora's breasts was nearly enough to silence them completely. Hannah felt Gabe's hands on her back as she reached for Nora. She heard Jason's appreciative moans as she kissed his wife's exposed neck. Hannah's hands traveled up Nora's slim body and into her mess of blonde hair, tugging the tendrils as she gently bit Nora's bottom lip, remembering how it had driven her crazy every time Caro did the same to her. No. Hannah dragged herself back to Nora's soft whimpers, to the warm sensation of Nora's tongue exploring the inside of her mouth, to Nora's hands on her waist. They were damp and ice cold. Hannah pulled back involuntarily, her eyes fluttering open to see Caro's face on Nora's neck. It lasted half a second or less. Skin fish belly white, dark circles extending to the tip of her nose, her hair lying in limp, waterlogged curls, lips pulled back in a feral grimace with dirt and sand and salt sliding between the teeth filling her rotting mouth. She jerked back her head and began to howl. There was a chorus of voices from the others.
Hannah, what the fuck?
Holy shit, are you okay?
Hannah, what's wrong?
But the howling hadn't stopped. It had only increased in volume and intensity. But Hannah realized it wasn't Caro creating the noise. She choked on the end of it, coughing, retching, and throwing herself over the edge of the bed and vomiting onto the carpet. Distantly, she heard her husband swearing, muttering,
getting up for towels. Nora stroked her back as Hannah shivered uncontrollably.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Nora's voice was a soothing balm.
It's okay. You just got sick.
Hannah couldn't look at her. Terrified, the moment she did, she'd see that horrible face again. She rushed past Gabe, diving into their bathroom and locking the door. She didn't know how long she sat there, arms wrapped around her knees, shivering violently. Jason knocked on the door as Nora pleaded with her to come out. Gabe finally told their friends they'd better head home. The knocking started again soon after they left. Hannah heard Gabe's voice on the other side, compassionate but impatient.
Hannah, can I please come in?
She closed her eyes, swallowed, reached up behind her, and undid the latch. She stared straight ahead as Gabe joined her on the floor. She kept staring straight ahead as he took her hands in his. Reluctantly, she met his eyes when he took her chin and forcefully tilted it upwards.
Hannah, what's going on?
She was silent for a few moments.
It's okay. You can tell me.
I know this is going to sound insane, but I saw her.
Gabe looked at her, worried.
Saw who?
Caro. I saw her. Her face was...
Fuck.
That was it. He was up, through the bathroom door and pacing on the bedroom carpet. Hannah felt a wave of anger overtake her.
What? You asked me what was wrong, Gabe, and I'm telling
you're telling me some crazy bullshit, and I don't want to hear it. Caro is dead, Hannah. She's dead. It's over, and she's not coming back. I don't know why you can't get that through your head, but the sooner you do, the better it'll be for both of us. I can't... You know, I can't deal with you like this.
Tears crossed Hannah's cheeks as she stood, watching her husband stalk back and forth across their bedroom like a caged animal.
Well, you have to, Gabe, because you're my fucking husband. And like you said, Caro's dead. She can't do it for you anymore.
Gabe stopped. He turned to her. He gave her a withering look.
Well, you're gonna have to find someone else or deal with it yourself, because I can't.
Hannah stood open-mouthed as he turned, walked out of the bedroom, and slammed the door. Hannah sits on the sofa, wine glass in hand, staring at her phone on the coffee table. Tonight is the night. After 6 weeks of silence, she's going to hear Caro's voice again. She's not stupid. She knows this is her last chance. She could lose everything she's worked for tonight. Everything she thought she'd already won. She's determined not to let that happen. And if it does happen, well, there's always Maine. Hannah downs her wine as the phone begins to ring.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. So, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
I thought you might have moved out of the country without telling me.
No, nothing like that.
Gabe and I are thinking of moving.
Yeah?
Yeah, we might go to Canada with Nora and Jason.
Oh, really? Well, that'll be fun. All right,
I guess I'll start. I'm sorry it's taken me so long. I wasn't expecting to not talk to you for... How long has it been?
6 weeks.
That long? Okay, wow. 6 weeks then. I'm sorry, Hannah.
It's okay.
No, it's not. It's not fair to you. And neither is this. I failed you, Hannah. I told you I was going to work it out. That I was going to find a way to keep you and Nick both in my life. That's what I was doing all this time. I wasn't trying to hurt you or abandon you. I was trying to fix things with Nick, and I thought it would help to have some space, but...
It didn't.
No, it didn't. The thing is, I've been thinking about our friendship. And it's not healthy. You know, Han.
What do you mean?
We don't talk about what happened between us, except when we're blackout drunk. We brag about our other friends and post on Instagram to make each other jealous. We push each other's buttons to get a reaction. It's toxic.
But I like that.
What?
The parts of our friendship that you're calling toxic, those are the parts I love the most. I like making you jealous.
Hannah, that's not how you should treat your friends. That's not how you should treat people you love.
Okay, well, it wasn't just me. You did it too.
I know, that's what I just said.
Okay, so we'll stop. I'll stop. We'll move on. We'll just be normal friends.
That's not going to work.
Why not?
Nick told me what would need to happen for him to be okay with you being my friend. We can't see each other as much as we want. We can't sleep over at each other's houses. We can't say, I love you. We can't take trips together. Maine can never happen for us. And neither of us would be okay with that.
Yes, we would. We'd be fine.
No, you can't.
I can get over it.
And even
I can adjust.
I can't. I don't want to.
You don't want me in your life?
Fuck! Hannah, of course I want you in my life. That's all I've been doing this past fucking month is trying to figure out a way for you to be in my life. But I know what would need to happen now. And it's not enough for either of us, and it's not fair.
I would rather have parts of you than none of you.
You say that now, but I know us. We'd both just keep pushing, and I'd drive Nick away, and I cannot lose him.
He doesn't deserve you.
Hannah.
I never should have introduced you two. He took you away from me.
Hannah!
No, Carol. Listen, you're amazing, and you deserve someone who will accept every part of you.
Nick does accept every part of
no,
me.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't accept me.
But you're not a part of me.
Don't say that. I know you better than anyone, Caro. We share thoughts. We share emotions. We are the same person.
No, Hannah, we're not.
Gabe accepts you.
He's really not jealous at all.
No. Gabe is... He's my soulmate in a lot of ways. And I'd never leave him. But he doesn't get me like you do. He can't be that emotional anchor for me. And he's happy I found someone who can.
So why did you guys dump me then?
I told you. It was a mistake. We didn't know how to handle that situation. I was so jealous of you, Caro. I thought you were going to steal Gabe away from
me. Hannah, that's bullshit. I never gave a fuck about Gabe. All I ever cared about was you. You're the one I fell in love with. And you fell in love with me too, and you got scared, and that's why you ended it. And I know that now, even if you won't say it.
So it's really over. I fucked it up that badly.
It's not your fault. It's not anyone's fault. There are a million things we could have done differently. If I'd set better boundaries, or if I'd asked how you felt, or if you talked about your feelings sooner.
I should never have told you how I felt.
No, Hannah, you should have told me earlier. You should have told me you loved me and you wanted to be in a relationship with me while we were in a fucking relationship.
Caro, I was so scared.
How do you think I felt driving home from your house every night, not having a clue where I stood with you?
You're right. You're right. And I'm sorry. I should have told you sooner. I was so happy, Caro. I was so happy having Gabe in my home and you in my heart. I loved all of those nights we spent together. And every night I wanted something to happen. I wanted to touch you and tell you that I loved you. But I didn't. Because I knew that as long as I didn't say anything, I could have both of you.
But isn't it hard for you? Loving two people at once.
No.
Hannah, I could have been your partner, or I could have been your friend. But I can't be something in between. Not anymore. And I don't believe we could be normal friends at this point. It's too late for that.
So what are we going to do? When I see you now, am I supposed to just pretend that you don't exist?
Well, it won't be a problem for long. You're going to Canada with Nora.
No, I'm not. I just said that to make you jealous.
Jesus, Hannah!
I am going to miss you so much.
So am I.
Pale moonlight dissipated through the glass of the bedroom window. It provided just enough gentle illumination to make sleep impossible. For the dozenth time, Hannah thought about getting up and closing the curtains, but she knew it was useless. Even though she had no energy left in her body, she was certain sleep would elude her that night. Moonlight or not. Nora and Jason had left 2 hours ago, and Gabe still hadn't returned from his basement office. Hannah had made it to bed, but every time she closed her eyes, she saw Caro's face again, stuck onto Nora's neck. So, she lay on her side, facing the door, eyes open. She regretted yelling at Gabe earlier. It wasn't his fault. He'd never been an emotional crutch. She knew it wasn't fair to expect him to start now. Hannah had almost resolved to get out of bed, to go down and apologize to Gabe, when she heard him coming up the stairs. She sighed in relief, thinking he must have cooled off and they'd make up when he joined her in bed. She was planning what to say to him, how to begin her apology, when she noticed how slowly Gabe was ascending the stairs. Normally, he'd scale them two at a time, with a speed that made Hannah worry he'd fall and break his neck. But from the sound of it, he was taking each riser at once, waiting a few seconds before moving to the next. Each time, throwing the full weight of his body onto the carpeted step with a dull thud. By the time he reached the top of the stairs, Hannah's gut knew something was profoundly wrong. As the footfalls made their way down the hallway towards her bedroom, her mind tried and failed to come up with an answer for the wet, dragging shuffle in between each one.
once the steps reached the bedroom, Hannah knew she'd never find a logical explanation for the shadow now covering the hallway light under the door. She'd heard the faint but unmistakably familiar ringtone of Gabe's phone, followed by his voice answering it from two flights down. And as the bedroom door swung silently inward, Hannah knew what was standing behind it a split second before it was revealed. She was naked, and her skin, beautifully pale in life, was now the chalk white exclusive to the dead, starkly and absurdly illuminated by the bulb in the hallway light fixture. She paused for a moment in the doorway, and even from that distance, Hannah could see the streams of water covering her limp arms, her ragged torso, her twisted legs, all trickling onto the floor in a hypnotic drip. She began to move, slowly but inevitably, towards where Hannah lay paralyzed, unable to move, to breathe, to think. Unable to do anything but listen to the sickly squelch of each footfall driving sand and dirt and water, always more water, into the fibers of the carpet. As she approached, Hannah's eyes traveled up from the footprints, noticing the long, bone-white fingernails, the matted clump of pubic hair, the dark bruises covering the slick skin, evidence of a body thrown against rocks and waves. As she reached the edge of the bed, Hannah finally stared into the face, cheeks sunken, eyes wide and lightless, her mouth twisted into a demented parody of her former smile, her dark curls slicked against her skin, lines of seaweed running through them. She leaned over, and Hannah felt the heavy drops of water, freezing cold, and falling onto her face, her sheets, her neck. But still, she couldn't close her eyes. She couldn't look away as the wet, heavy, swollen body pulled itself on top of her own, as the gaunt, deformed face grew ever closer to hers, as the cracked, lifeless lips covered her own, and water, icy salt water, poured into her mouth with a rushing relentlessness that flooded Hannah's throat and lungs, her body and soul. She was crushed under the cold, cold specter until she surrendered to the blackness of the frigid, eternal kiss.
For some reason, I can't stop thinking about the day of the eclipse. It was at her old house, at the height of that summer when we were lovers who became friends. We'd been watching movies, and we were probably already drinking wine, even though it was the middle of the afternoon. And then, it was time. And we paused the movie and went outside in her front yard. Everyone on her street was outside too, and she'd gotten glasses from the hospital so we could take turns looking at the sun disappearing behind the moon. Maybe it was because her husband had been at work, so it felt like we were experiencing this historic and momentous and significant event. Just the two of us. Like we were really together. and the way I knew we both wanted. As she took my hand in hers, and I watched her watch the sky. Everyone talks about your whole life flashing before your eyes the moment you die. But for me, it's just that one scene. That one memory. That one image projected in my mind. Her and I, side by side, watching the heavens work their magic from now until oblivion.
As Hannah sat at the vanity, brushing the knots out of her hair, she allowed herself a moment to enjoy the sparkling anticipation buzzing around her like an electric current. She felt her heart hammer in her chest, pulsing so insistently that she half expected it to burst through her pajama top. Over the past 2 months, she'd become familiar with the sensation of a skyrocketing heart rate. And every time it began to slow, something would happen to send it soaring again. A pile of waterlogged sand on the bathroom counter. A glass of water from the tap that transformed into briny seawater the moment it touched Hannah's lips. A conch shell, ice cold to the touch, waiting on her bedside table when she woke up. And sometimes, a third body, frigid and slick, lying beside her at night. Gabe never noticed any of it, and Hannah had given up on trying to tell him. She knew this wasn't for him. This had nothing to do with him. Maine was theirs. She let out a shaky breath as she slipped underneath the covers where her husband waited. He looked at her, rubbed her back as he smiled with gentle concern.
You okay, babe?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just tired.
Gabe leaned over and kissed her lips.
I'm glad you're doing better.
She nodded. I am. I'm a lot better.
It was even the truth. Gabe kissed her again before rolling over and switching off his bedside lamp. Hannah did the same, burrowing more snugly into the mattress, grounding herself through every sensation. The crisp cotton of the sheets against her feet, the warm weight of the down comforter on her body, and the cold, wet skin sliding up the length of her leg. She smiled.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been part 2 of Maine. Written by Madeline Daniel. Narrated by me, Brooke Jeanette. Caro was Kayla Temshiv. Gabe was Ian Epperson. And Nick was Mason Amadeus. Music composed by Kayla Britchie. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Additional assistance from Bridget Freeman. Check the show notes for more information about the cast and crew. Our producer-level patrons are Tattooed Fox, Rhiannon, Sean Geary, Anthony Diaz, Michael Vasquez, Amy Harper, Jackie K, Chantel Payne, Nick, Jake R, Emily Toll, Cozumine, Adeline, and John Joy. Thank you so much for your support. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about joining us on Patreon. And check us out on social media. You can find us most places under Pod 13. And you can join the Facebook group for 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo, and you'll find links in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show, or if you'd like to contact us about anything else, you can get in touch at info@13podcast.com
You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcasts.com. And you can find that in the show notes, too. Bridget Freeman is coming up the stairs. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.